Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Okay, so I have to just launch in. I got a prowler report. So, kitty cat prowler.
This is Dr. Debra's cat who was diagnosed with, was it stomach cancer?
Abdominal lymphoma, okay. Yes. Yeah. A small cell, so there was a lot of hope. But so we went to his four-month checkup. Now, He's been getting acupuncture every 10 days at the house. Oh. He gets all these magical herbs, and he gets chemo and prednisolone. So when the vet walked back in, now mind you, when she first gave us the diagnosis, she didn't have like a poker face. She walked in the room, she was still smiling. So we didn't know when she comes in smiling whether this is good news or bad news.
Right.
But she walked in and she just was beaming, and she said, this cat is fantastic. Not good. Fantastic.
Amazing.
All of his blood work is better. We don't have a barometer yet on the cancer per se.
Okay.
But all vital signs and functions, liver function, kidney functions are doing fantastic. So that means that there's a very good chance that he could go into remission, and we're already reducing the steroid, and he'll be on the chemo for another 8 months.
Uh-huh.
But he's full of piss and vinegar. I mean, I send you vinegar.
Yes. Oh my God, you would never know.
No, you would never know that he's sick.
But do you credit the herbs? And is that what the vet thinks?
I have to credit all of it. I think chemo's great, but chemo can kill you too, right?
Yeah,
Chemo's so strong, it attacks the entire body. So to be able to boost him with all these other things, I think they're doing a great job. I mean,
right.
I'm all for them. I'd rather do that than not. His liver's failing, or he dies of something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
amazing.
Exciting.
I'm so happy.
Yes.
And he is really, seriously, your cats are the most beautiful cats I've ever seen. No, I'm not even just like making this up. They could win like beauty contests.
He's beautiful. I wanted to get him an agent and get him on commercials, but it's so hard to crack.
Right, I know, but they really could.
So, so cute. Okay, I know you have a story to tell about your kids, yes?
I'm thinking.
But if not, I have a very special surprise for you.
I'm dying. Okay. Just bring it
on. So, everybody, this is Kelly's birthday week. This is a big one.
The big 3-0 plus 10.
This poem will reveal otherwise.
Exactly.
Okay. So I wrote this for you, Kelly, and I'm going to read it on air just so I can embarrass you because you're so cute. So Kelly's 40th birthday. Your smile warms up a room even on the coldest of days. Your heart pulsates compassion and love in so many ways. A friend so special and ever so rare. Whenever you're needed, you're always there. Your spunk and your zest can never be measured, yet certainly qualities always to be treasured. But for this special birthday, a day just for you, I hope you'll indulge in all that you do. You've given so much to others, now it's time to embrace the notion that self-focus can be granted with grace. Many bridges to cross at this fork of 40 years old, countless new stories and adventures yet to unfold. Please don't see aging as something ever to regret. Instead, embrace the future and what you haven't yet met. So for today and tomorrow and all the days through, may all of your wishes forever come true.
Oh, so beautiful.
There you go.
Thank you. I want to hug you across the,
the mics.
Forget the words. You are an amazing poet. Like, number one. Yeah. But thank you so much. That was
Happy
so touching.
Birthday.
That's one of the best gifts I ever could get. Seriously. Thank you so much.
So sweet.
Thank you.
And you got 3 Ayurvedic sessions with my daughter, Tiffany.
I'm very excited.
She's very excited, too.
Is she really? Yes. Okay, good. Because I'm going to pick her brain. I'm not an easy case. Like, I'm going to,
give her a run for money.
Exactly.
Or a run for my money.
Exactly.
Okay. So, do you want to tell a story, or
I'm thinking if there's anything. No, I had a really good weekend. I really did.
Yeah.
Some of my Remy and London's like moms at the school took me out for dinner, so that was really nice.
Sweet.
It was fun, and then I went to a fun barbecue with my Pilates instructor.
Fun,
and he is so gorgeous. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna throw it out there. I mean, he's so adorable. Even my cousin who came in was like drooling. She's like, oh my God, how do you do Pilates with that? It's really funny. I'm serious.
You're so funny.
It's true. I'm not messing around. I mean, like a blind person would think so. So,
and then you have a fun surprise planned for you.
So David's going to take me to a hotel on Friday. I can't wait. And then Saturday, it's so funny, I have another friend who's got the exact same birthday as me, and she's turning 40 also, and she's doing an 80s party.
How fun.
I cannot wait. I'm going all out, like Madonna style, like with the like lace gloves and like the leg warmers. I was even thinking about buying a crimper. I'm not kidding. I was like, I'm serious about this stuff. So anyway, but that's yeah, it's been fun.
How fun. You're going to have so much fun. Yeah. What a good birthday.
I know. Yeah. It's very cool.
What do you think your kids are going to do for you? Well, David.
Nothing. Last year, Lennon came in and said, I farted for you. And I'm not kidding. I swear to God. And it was kind of funny, but I'm not expecting a lot. David and I are going to go to Paris later on. That's the big,
big
one. So everything else I'm okay with.
All right. Okay. Well, last week we had Ira Israel, How to Survive Your Childhood and Now That You Are an Adult. And you actually went to his workshop last week.
He's such a good guy. He really is like... Mm-hmm. He's like a Zen sort of calming presence. But yeah, it's a wonderful book.
What a different twist, too, on that kind of content, right? You would think it would be the sort of the standard self-esteem, this and that. But he talked about the myth of romance and how that affects us in our lives. He was very interesting.
He's very bright. Like, I would love to pick his brain because I think he's got like a lot going on in there. So it was a wonderful show.
Okay. So do you want to do the honors?
Sure. All right, so today we have Dr. Alyssa Eppel, and she is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at University of California, San Francisco. Her research aims to elucidate mechanisms of healthy aging and to apply this basic science to scalable interventions that can reach vulnerable populations. She's the director of the Aging, Metabolism, and Emotions Lab and the Center for Obesity Assessment, Study, and Treatment. She studies psychological, social, and behavioral pathways underlying chronic psychological stress and stress resilience that impacts cellular aging. She also studies the interconnections between stress, addiction, eating, and metabolic health. She's involved in NIH initiatives on role of stress in aging and on reversibility of early life adversity and science of behavioral change. She is on the Steering Council for Mind and Life Institute and a member of the National Academy of Medicine. Her research has been featured in venues such as TED Med, NBC's Today Show, CBS's Morning Show, 60 Minutes, NPR, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, etc. She co-authored the Telomere Effect with Elizabeth Blackburn, a New York Times bestseller. Several times a year, she enjoys leading retreats that integrate mind-body practices with the science of stress and renewal underlying them.
Welcome, Dr. Alyssa.
Hello, Deborah and Kelly. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I'm so excited. Now, tell us a little bit more about what does the telomere effect mean?
Well, when we want to look inside our body and understand aging, there's a lot going on. And one of the most interesting things to kind of watch or monitor as we age is how our telomeres are faring. So every cell of our body has telomeres, these protective caps at the ends of our chromosomes. And as we age and as our cells divide, they do get shorter and shorter. So they're, in a sense, kind of a clock on the cell. And when they get too short, the cell cannot live well. So it dies or it cannot divide and replenish and, you know, create fresh new cells and tissue. So they're one of the many ways that we age. And we've been studying for, you know, over a decade now what speeds them up, what causes them to deteriorate more quickly, and what keeps them stable so that our cells can go on for a longer time, leading a healthy life, which means we lead more of a healthy life. Because when we have too many of these old senescent cells, that is kind of the foundation of aged tissue and disease. It's like creating this fertile ground for disease. So we age long before we see it on the outside, right? We can measure this kind of type of aging even in children way before we get wrinkles and things fall apart.
I can just imagine when you tell people what they do, they're like, what's the secret? We want to know anti-aging. Like, do they find this fascinating?
Lots of people want to slow their aging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Wow.
And lots of people want to live, you know, with super longevity. And, you know, that's not a goal that we assume everyone has. So, like, how long do you guys want to live?
Well, I want to live healthily. So I'd love to make it to my 90s or 100. It'd be great, but I don't want to be decrepit and grouchy
suffering.
So
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's really the grail, which is living well for as long as we can. We call that health span. How can we live long and stay well and kind of fend off disease till the very end? You know, the disabilities get everyone, the loss of hearing, the joints. It's not like people can be immune to aging, but we can actually stay really functional and vital and have our brain stay sharp if we are lucky with genes, and more importantly, if we are kind of living a daily lifestyle that promotes that kind of slower aging.
So what are the worst culprits that lead speed to up faster aging, interrupt the slowdown period?
Yeah, right. It's a good question. I mean, there's certainly smoke and toxic chemicals and, you know, lead exposure. There are things that really shorten telomeres quickly. And then there are things that that I kind of dive in deep to study, which are different types of stress, toxic stress. So when things are bad for too long, like being a caregiver for years and years, being in a toxic relationship or having unmanageable work stress that goes on and on. So those are the kinds of situations that are big red flags for health, right? They're ongoing. They cause wear and tear. They wear out telomeres early.
Mm. Wow. So and what about combating it? Because I'm a meditator, a daily meditator, and I know there's some research that has shown that it can kind of slow down the aging process, and I'm curious if that is definitely true.
Well, I'm a researcher, so I'll never say definitely, but I can tell you that we've got some really interesting studies, you know, kind of a field that's growing that does point to meditation and really any mind-body practice as a way to slow the aging process, reduce the inflammation that builds up with age, and slow the telomere shortening process. So, you know, if you are the type that can do meditation every day, that's incredible, because you're probably different in a lot of other ways. Your stress responses are more resilient. You're kind of responding to whatever happens to you rather than on automatic pilot, with a more kind of thoughtful, reflective response, so that we're all going to have a big stress response if something acutely happens that surprises us or violates our expectations. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what happens next? Do we let that process go on and kind of chew and ruminate on the thoughts and feelings, or do we actually recover quickly? So we think that people who meditate recover more quickly. They don't have that kind of rumination that keeps the stress alive in their body long after the event happens.
And so would yoga qualify as a goodie also?
Oh, absolutely. That's my own passion. And I think that, you know, we all know that yoga comes in many forms. So it could be just stretching, which is good for us, but it could also be a meditative exercise. And, you know, part of that depends on the teacher. So some teachers really make it a mindful awareness experience where you are focusing on your breathing and your body. But even when you have a great teacher, you can bring in your work to a yoga class, and you can work and ruminate and make plans while you're doing yoga. I'm guilty of that sometimes. And so really it depends on how we are, how we're able to be present and focused on these mind-body activities.
And can anybody get their telomeres measured?
You can. So there's lots of companies, and I will admit that I am the type that hasn't gotten them measured. I would like to know as much as I can about kind of best ways to live, best toxic styles and exposures to avoid. And so I just kind of do the best I can without really looking inside. You can get them measured, and I will tell you that theoretically it's a good idea. In actuality, well, I only hear from the people who are very unhappy with their tests, but there are people who are doing everything they, you know, should or could for a healthy day, and then they find out they're really short. So that can be distressing.
Yeah,
sure. And it could be genetics. It could be early childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. There's lots of reasons we might have short telomeres. But that is really not what matters, is what you are at the moment, but rather what your trajectory is. So even if you're short, you can maintain stable short telomeres mm-hmm. with a healthy lifestyle and a kind of a positive, resilient mindset. So that's what we focus on when we teach people how to be stress resilient and how to kind of slow the aging process. It's all about what are you doing right now, because we have much more control mm-hmm. than we ever thought we did.
So having been somebody who was pretty traumatized as a child and then totally put myself in traumatic harm's way over and over again in my youth, I probably ruined a lot of my telomeres. Can they recover?
Well, so we think that they can somewhat recover, but no one's been able to do that kind of a study. So they may be short. You know, we call that scars from childhood. We carry with us. And one of the things that we see when we do these short-term studies is a boost in when we do, for example, put people in a meditation retreat, which is mm-hmm. pretty much as good as it gets, right? If you're lucky enough to go on a retreat, mm-hmm. you have changed your conditions so that you are able to reach this kind of maximal state of restoration, and you're eating great food, and you're probably learning new skills. So when we do that, we find that the enzyme telomerase goes up, and we even in an unpublished study that we hope will be published soon, we find that in a 1 month retreat, it appears that telomeres may even lengthen.
Wow.
We don't know if that's fresh new cells coming out or actual cell regeneration, you know, telomeres per cell lengthening, but looks good, looks promising. No one's okay, do they stay long, and does that prevent the diseases of aging? But of course, we know that nothing stays unless you kind of keep doing the health behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So in one of our studies, we studied Deepak Chopra's retreat, and we found that the people who were in the experienced meditation group, they did get a boost of telomerase by being in a week-long retreat. And then we looked at their depression, and we found that, well, vacation, like hanging out by the pool, was just as good for mental health as learning meditation. Mm. But then we studied them almost a year later, and that's when we saw the difference, that the people who had learned meditation had much better mental health, even a year later. They had lower symptoms of depression. But part of that was that they were still practicing, at least some of the time.
Sure.
So yeah. Dose response.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about George Burns, that he probably had the longest telomeres. Remember him? He smoked, he drank every day. He did like everything you're talking about.
And so hardy and robust.
Yeah, and he lived to like 99 or some crazy, you know, age.
But that's good genes, don't you think?
Yeah. It's amazing.
And maybe he just didn't have stress.
Which could be too.
Right, because stress is like
Well, worse. I mean, you know, I think we need to reframe how we think about stress, because he certainly had a lot of stress. Like your wish for your friend that she embraces the future, beautiful. Like that is what life is about, is like embracing opportunities and engaging in things. And that's stress, you know, and so we don't want to avoid stressful things because, well, they're always going to come at us, and whether we like it or not, but also this is a way of really living more fully and living a compassionate life. So really, I think rather than thinking about the goal is to not have stress because that'll make us live longer, it's probably the opposite. But it's not the toxic stress that we want. It's this kind of short-term engagement with stressors that we can manage and master, and that boosts our health. We actually think that that's can cause even what we call more functional longevity or homeostatic capacity. And what I mean by those terms are that we actually increase our physiological ability to reduce or to function at a higher level. Mm-hmm. So it's almost, you know, in a way, it's kind of like reversing aging by not just gaining, physiological fitness and aerobic fitness, but psychological fitness by engaging in these types of positive stressors.
We are speaking with Dr. Alyssa Eppel, the author, co-author of The Telomere Effect, and we're learning about anti-aging. As you were speaking, it really, what was just flashing in my mind was probably one of the number one psychological killers is resentment. People who are carrying around resentment, like you said, being able to let go of something and moving on. But it seems like everybody I meet on the planet, you start talking about a certain topic and like a whole box of shit comes pouring out about how this one did this to them. And, you know, that victimization resentment thing, which is like swallowing poison and waiting for someone else to die. Did you study anything about resentments or, you know, the psychological mindset of people who are in that space?
Not exactly, but I'm glad you brought that up because we all know what that feels like, right? To be holding on to something, to feel that kind of rekindled anger or regret. And it doesn't feel good. And it's also probably really doing a job on our nervous system where we hold things. And one of the ways that we have been studying mind states is looking at the state of what we call negative mind wandering, which is wishing you weren't where you are or wishing you were doing something else.
Regret.
And that is a really unhappy state. Mm-hmm. And we all do that some of the time. Yep. But it's something to notice and be aware of, because that is kind of rejecting the present and wishing for, you know, that things were different. And I think that kind of resentment you're talking about is also a way of kind of holding on to the past in a way that's really unhealthy for our current well-being.
What's it called again? I love that.
The wandering.
Negative mind wandering. And so we've been studying this in different ways. And so being really focused in what we're doing and present is associated with longer telomeres. We don't know if it's causal.
That makes sense.
And the opposite, doing a lot of negative mind wandering is associated with shorter telomeres. So of course that's where meditation comes in, because that helps us to kind of be with things as they are.
When you first said it, I thought you said negative mind watering, but that works too, right? You're watering the negativity in your brain, having that growth.
True.
So positive mind watering.
Oh, I have a great question. I think Deborah will appreciate. What about wine? Is that good for aging or negative for aging? Because I've heard both sides.
She knows I'm a wine lover.
Lots of research on that. Well, we haven't found any relationships with wine. We just see that when people drink like four more drinks a day, their telomeres look really short. And that's not surprising, right? That's you know, excessive. But we do luckily know that drinking caffeinated coffee is correlated with longer telomeres. So I was very happy to hear that. And in general, I mean, nutrition has such a big effect, right? And so just the good news is that the things that we already know, like a whole food diet, eating real food and avoiding simple carbs and sugars, those are good for telomeres too. So it all kind of ties together. What's good for the heart, what's good for the brain is also good at the cellular level. And so when we think about keeping telomeres healthy, we want to think about an anti-inflammatory diet. And so that is the rainbow of foods that we can eat. Those are anti-inflammatory, they reduce oxidative stress. So that's kind of the food is medicine piece, where we don't have a pill to stabilize telomeres, but we don't need one because we can be seeking that in our natural diet.
What's the rub on turmeric?
Looks good to me. I'm putting it in things, but I mean, it's certainly no one studied it with telomeres.
Okay.
The findings that have kind of popped out with telomeres are red meat, processed meat especially, are probably and soda. Those are probably the worst things you can do for your cell aging.
Yay, I gave up soda two
that's
and a half years ago.
Amazing. So did David. It's amazing.
And I gave up meat 3.5 years
ago.
That's
great.
Yeah.
What about, is there a correlation between gray hair and aging or stress?
I don't know that I want to hear the answer to this question. I had my first gray hair at 21 years old in graduate school.
I had mine at 23.
A lot of that's genetic. We do know that like greater exposure to chemicals like oxidative stress also cause early graying.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the telomeres play some small role. They're part of each follicle, and they're part of the kind of layer of tissue under our skin. And so the way that they get short is UV, actually. When we get a lot of UV exposure, it actually can shorten telomeres deep down under our skin in our fibroblasts, you know, the kind of structure that we need. So that's not good. And when you compare, like, the, you know, let's say butt cells, like tissue that hasn't been exposed to the sun, you see longer telomeres. It's not
interesting.
So down on those nudist colonies, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man,
what's going to have short
telomeres? Well, we need some sun for sure. I just say, you know,
just
get
over
it, get
a
it
lot.
Small doses and where you don't mind more wrinkles.
Right. That's so interesting.
That is interesting. But it's also, I think, in listening to you speak about this, that there is some level of balance, right? Because if you're enjoying your life, if you're depriving yourself of everything that you love only to have longer telomeres and hopefully a longer life, but you're not happy, that produces stress too. So it's good to have a little bit of balance, a little indulgence here and there, but not in the super toxic things.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the story of the telomere research so far is that moderation is what is helpful. And when we've studied people who, for example, are doing extreme caloric restriction, they tend to have either similar or shorter telomeres. And when people are doing kind of ultra endurance marathons, their telomeres are not that much longer. So, you know, you might kind of do the math and be like, well, yeah, that's not worth it, spending 2 hours a day of my life for some benefit that might have some risks in people who are overtraining have shorter telomeres in their muscle cells. So there's, you know, there's the lesson there is really moderation is leading, you know, thinking about what's realistic that you can do in a day that is healthy, but that is that you can maintain, right? So any extreme thing or fad is just off the table and it's going to drive us crazy. So what we do when we kind of apply the telomere effect to our life is really just think about the landscape of your day and where are the parts of your day, whether it's stress, social connection, nutrition, activity, or environmental exposures, where are the big red flags for you where you need to change or eliminate something or where can you improve? So like, for example, when I ask people what the most stressful part of their day is, often it's right when they wake up, the commute, getting kids to school. And it's like every day you do that. There are ways to tweak that. It, rather than be kind of like, a rat in a maze, like doing the same thing every day, we can actually change our response so that we're having more restorative time each day compared to more of the kind of activated negative stress.
I love this because it's scientific and incorporates, like, you know, holistic health and mindfulness. So it's like the perfect combination.
So, Kelly, what's the most stressful time of your day? Kelly has two young children.
I have two boys that are active and wild. And I'm thinking, as you're talking, I'm like, well, you know, how can I change that? I can't, but I could get more help or I can take more breaks. And so I guess it's just, you know, being creative with what you got, I guess, to basically have that self-care. Is that right?
So absolutely. And I think on our website, one of the biggest tasks that we all have is just to really know ourselves better because so that we're not on automatic pilot reacting to what, you know, to fate and chance and things that happen to us. And so part of knowing ourselves is understanding how the mind works, particularly our response styles. So we have quizzes. So we help people like look at their own stress response style. And that's, you know, that's the first step. And really it makes you laugh, you know, when you realize you have these tendencies and that they happen maybe every day or several times a day. And then it's the, you know, then it's the deciding, okay, I'm going to try it differently.
Right.
And
right.
We have lots of opportunities to keep trying, right?
Absolutely. So do you have to go?
Do you have to end early? Should we wrap it up?
I have about three more minutes. This is really fun.
Okay, great. But we really want to make sure that we promote everything that you have going on. So tell us about, I know you have some retreats and where people can get the book and all of that good stuff.
Okay, so let me tell you, I know you were asking me earlier what we're doing now, what our current studies are. So we're really interested in this idea of how we can make positive stress work for us, and does that actually enhance our, you know, bolster our cells, mm-hmm. you know, kind of slow the aging process in all the ways that we can measure the mitochondria, the inflammation, the telomerase enzymes. So we're going to be starting a study that compares high-intensity interval training, so like little bursts of activity. Okay. We already know that's good for us, but we want to see what it's doing to both the psychological stress response, the physiological stress response, the telomeres, and we're going to compare that to something else we know, or something new that's starting to be studied that looks really interesting and good for us, and that is this extreme breathing method where we it's called the Wim Hof method. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Wim Hof breathing, the Iceman. So he's been using extreme breathing method to manipulate his autonomic nervous system and heat up his body, and he can stay in ice for 2 hours. So he's won world record for this, and now he's teaching other people with cold exposure and with his breathing method. Oh. And so we're going to be studying it. Wow. And, of course, I'm trying it myself and thinking this is so interesting from every standpoint, right? It's like, that you can just even the mind aspect of watching your body during this short exposure, and then how alert you feel. And so the question is it changing our immune function? Is it changing our stress resilience? So we'll find out. Call me again in a year, and I can tell you the results. And then what we're doing in some of these retreats. So I love to kind of team up with my colleagues and lead retreats that integrate the science and help mm-hmm. people apply the science of aging and emotions right up next to contemplative practices of breathing and meditation. And so we have one February 2nd okay. in Santa Cruz, and April 20th with Dan Siegel on April 20th, and February 2nd is with Eve Ekman, who's an emotions expert. And it's just so much fun to actually try to really help people tailor what we know to their own lives.
This is incredible. And by the way, is the study of the ice, is that cryotherapy or is it something different?
No, that's actually totally different.
Okay.
So what we do here in California, where we don't have snow, is it's all about kind of dosing yourself so that you're exposed to cold showers. You certainly can do ice too, but it's different than that cryotherapy.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Well, this was so fascinating. We absolutely love talking with you. That you're so articulate, and it was just really informative and interesting. So thank you so much. We were talking with Dr. Elisa Eppel, and she is the author of The Telomere Effect. And it's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. And in your honor, let's go through this renewal lab, Kelly. So bye-bye, Dr. Elisa.
Okay,
but we're going to continue on with your book.
Care.
Okay, bye-bye.
So there's a part in her book called The Renewal Lab, and it's Surf Your Sugar Cravings. So I'm just going to read this.
Oh, my God, please. What page are you on?
221.
Okay.
And she has an exercise in here called Surf Your Cravings. I bet our audience would love this.
I have such cravings.
So cutting back on sugar may be the single most beneficial change you can make to your diet. The American Heart Association recommends limiting added sugar to 9 teaspoons a day for men and 6 teaspoons for women.
God.
But the average American has almost 20 teaspoons a day. A high sugar diet is associated with more belly fat, insulin resistance, and 3 studies have found a link between shorter telomeres and drinking sugared beverages. So why don't we do the Surf Your Cravings exercise?
Yes.
Okay. So since you have the cravings, I'll do it for you.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody?
You don't have them?
Huh?
You don't have them?
Not that often.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know me with chocolate.
Yeah, you're a chocolate.
I am seriously an addict. Like, I could go to treatment, but go ahead.
Okay, so sit comfortably and close your eyes. Picture the snack or treat you're craving. Conjure up its texture, its color, its smell. As the image becomes vivid, let yourself feel your craving. Let your attention wander throughout your body to observe the nature of this craving. Describe this craving to yourself. What are its sensations and its qualities? What are the shapes, sensations, and any thoughts or feelings associated with it? Where is it located in your body? Does it change as you notice it or as you exhale? Feel any discomfort Remind yourself this is not an itch that needs to be scratched. This is a feeling that changes and will pass. Perhaps imagine it as a wave that builds, crests, and dissipates back into the ocean. Breathe into the sensation and let it release tension as you notice the waves falling back gently. You might put your attention and your hand on your heart, imagining a sense of warmth and kindness flowing outward from your heart. Let this sense of warmth spread throughout your body, enveloping the sense of craving with loving kindness. Take a moment just breathing in this feeling of compassion for yourself. Now look at the image of the food again. What has changed? What are you aware of? You can experience the craving without acting on it. Just notice it, breathe, and envelop it with a sense of loving kindness.
That was really sweet.
That's beautiful. Yeah, what were you thinking about?
Chocolate. Yeah, I really was, because I really do. I'm a little scared about my addiction. But yeah, I was thinking about my dark chocolate, and where I felt the craving is interesting. I felt it like in the middle of my tongue. That's where I felt it. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Like your tongue was saying, feed me.
Yes.
Feed it to me.
And, but I like the reminder that it's going to pass and that you don't need to feed this craving. You know, that it's not an itch that needs to be scratched. It's just like, okay, we can let it pass. And I like the imagery of the ocean. Because it's true. It's like, you know, what do they say that cravings pass within like, I don't know, a few minutes or something like that. So I loved that. That was a great exercise. I can't, but I'm still not over the fact that you don't have that. What are your cravings? Like salt? Salt stuff?
I guess so. I like salty. I like sugar. It's not, I just don't seem to have cravings. You know, yeah. I think the longer I don't eat that kind of stuff, the less I actually crave it.
That makes sense.
So there's another piece in her book that we can go through too.
Sure.
On 238, nutrition and telomere length.
Oh, I was just looking at that.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
Perfect. So food, drinks, and telomere length. So why don't you go ahead and read the ones associated with shorter telomeres.
Yes. So shorter telomeres. So again, we're talking about the telomere effect, and we were on with Dr. Elise Ipel, who had to go, but we're reading. And so the telomeres are basically, she was describing it, the studies that she's doing shows that you can have shorter or longer, and then it correlates with healthy aging. So shorter telomeres are red meat, processed meat, white bread, sweetened drinks, sweetened soda, saturated fat, omega-6 polyunsaturated fats, and high alcohol consumption. Interesting.
Okay. And then the longer ones is with fiber, whole grains, vegetables, nuts, legumes, seaweed, fruits, omega-3s, of like salmon, Arctic char. I love Arctic char. You ever had that?
No.
Oh, it's delicious. Mackerel, tuna, and sardines. Although I can never find it. It's at the restaurant called Lure. They always have it.
Oh,
it's so delicious. Anyway, dietary antioxidants, including fruits, vegetables, but also beans, nuts, seeds, whole grains, green tea, and coffee.
Wow.
Now, interesting, she also has an associated shorter telomere with vitamins that are iron-only supplements because they tend to be in high doses.
Uh-huh.
But the good ones are vitamin D. Does that say 4?
It says 45, but I think that's just a notation or something.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And vitamin B, folate, C, and E, multivitamin supplements, has mixed evidence.
So, I mean, it's not surprising. But I guess it's just like, yeah, it's like these are the actual studies that show that. It's interesting about the red meat. I wonder what that is. Maybe they just process it so much. I don't know.
Well, yeah. We could also do this little quiz that she has in here about on a scale of 1 to 10, doing the self-test telomere trajectory quiz.
Oh, what page are you on?
This is on 243.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's...
I want to scale 1 to 10. How do you rate your writing?
Okay. But the tips for creating new habits, she mentioned. Small changes. That always makes sense, right?
Yep.
When we do small changes. And staple it. What does she mean by that? Tack your small change onto an activity that's already a routine part of your day. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So basically make it part of it.
Mornings are green light zones. Try to schedule your change for the morning. The earlier the day, the less likely it is that other urgent priorities will nudge you, your new behaviors, off your schedule. That makes sense, too. We like this one. This was the Nike one. Don't decide. Just do, right? Just do it. And celebrate it. Oh. All right. So what's going to be your one takeaway? What change are you going to make? She's so like, don't ask me that. It's my birthday week.
I know. No, screw I was that. Just thinking, like, thank God. I'm grateful that I actually really like to eat healthy aside from my dark chocolate, which is probably the healthiest. You know, I really do. I really enjoy it. So I'm grateful for that. But so I think mine is probably the stress of just the chaos and the crazy and just, I guess, I really want to continue my meditation practice. That has been a lifesaver for me.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want to continue that. But yeah, but like just taking breaks and knowing, like, keep reminding myself that, like, during the hard, stressful times, like, just reminding myself, like, this is going to pass. You know, it's like sometimes it feels so intense in the moment, but it will pass.
I think I told you once, Tiffany, she was just so clever. I think she was, I don't know, she was like an early teenager, and I was stressing out about something, like trying to get dinner together, and everybody's asking me questions, and I just had that, like, attitude. And she goes, Mom, is that really going to bother you in 5 minutes from now?
Oh, my God.
Said, probably not. She said, well, why are you letting it bother you now? It was like brilliant. I've never forgotten
how
that.
Old was she?
She was like 12 or 13.
Good for her.
She's just like,
yeah, exactly.
My mom can be a little bit of a drama queen.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Does she get stressed out, by the way? She seems very calm to me.
She gets stressed in a different way, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, she likes things to be very calm and relaxed, and she's just, that's why she's kind of a zen person.
Yes.
And I don't think zenny type people do too well in high energy stressful situations.
She can never come to my house.
No, because of the resiliency. And yet she loved babysitting.
Yeah.
She's done a lot of babysitting, but
sure,
she hasn't really, she's got a little bit of a Pied Piper with children.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just sort of like look up to her, like,
oh my God,
awestruck. You know.
All right, she's coming over. That's it. Yeah. No, but it is really interesting.
So what do you think you could do differently, though, with your boys that might help de-stress them, too? Right? Because everybody kind of feeds off each other's stress.
I'll tell you what it is. It's that I need to let go of the guilt. And it's like, if I had a client who came to me and said to me, you know, I feel guilty every time I take a bath and my kids are downstairs. Like, I don't know why I have that. It might be my own, like, childhood stuff. But I need, that is like a conscious thing. I just need to let go of the guilt. They're going to be fine. I don't need to be with them all the time. It's good for them to see that mommy's taking care of herself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I think that's probably something that I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was something she said in her book, too, that one of the things, the classic things that people do that stress themselves out when they start their day is they launch right into something that's probably the most stressful of all things.
That's
like checking the whole
email.
Of emails or, you know, messages or looking at the stock market.
You're right.
Or whatever. I mean, I'm guilty of all those things.
Of course.
And I do so much better in a day when I wake up, I go turn on my coffee, I'll go step outside, I take 10 deep breaths, and I just go,
that's a great idea.
This is just a lovely day, you know, before anything happens, and it just changes the mood for me so much.
I love that. I think that's super helpful. I'm going to try that. I immediately have dark chocolate. I'm not... I'm not kidding, because I'm like, I'm up. It's a new day. Let's start it the best way we can.
I love it.
What is your thing? What are you going to change?
What am I going to change? I'll
to
drink
keep
a
your
glass
well,
less
you know what? I
wine.
Keep thinking about. I know exactly.
I'll drink one glass less.
When I was thinking about, remember when we had the facial recognition? Not recognition.
Yeah.
Facial. Like acupuncturist on, and she said you're going to live a very long life. Do you remember that?
She said that to me.
Yes.
I did.
She said you're going to live a very long life.
Oh.
She didn't say that about me.
Oh.
That's how I remember it. No, I mean, I think it was just, she said, like, you're going to age well and live a very long life. Like, I remember that. Isn't that interesting? I think you're very resilient. I have to tell you, like, just in general, like, I feel like you've endured a lot and it's given you a ton of strength. So I think that, yes, you've had those childhood traumas, but I think it almost worked in your benefit because I think it made you stronger and more resilient and kind of, you know,
armor. I mean, I certainly feel that way psychologically, for sure. I feel like a much healthier, more grounded person having gone through all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it's done actually
to
my internal
DNA.
Organs. But thank goodness, knock on whatever, my head or something that, all my lab work and all that, the doctors and all that stuff has been really good.
Yeah.
And I've been doing great with acupuncture, a combination of acupuncture and chiropractic and the Pilates and the yoga. And my back is, I'd say, reasonably good.
That's amazing.
You know, it's like it gets a little tweaky every once in a while.
Sure.
Really tight hamstrings.
Yeah. 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 I get that.
Yeah. Now, what are you doing Pilates sometimes?
Yes,
too, right?
I am. Remember, I told you about my instructor. That's the only reason I'm going. No, I am going. It really does. It's great. And I like it because I like low impact. You know, like I wish I was more into like the high impact and cardio, but I like the low impact stuff. But yeah, I love Pilates.
I think it's so much better for your joints anyway.
I do think so. I used to be a runner. Me too. You probably were too. Yeah. And my knees were awful.
Your knees and my back. Yeah, my knees are fine.
Oh, your knees were okay.
My knees are perfect. Yeah.
Even today, it's my lower back.
Yeah.
Well, so interesting.
Oh my goodness. So, but so many interesting tidbits in here.
It's really great. Super fascinating. Well, and again, I really love that she was able to really combine that scientific knowledge with lifestyle changes and things like that. Because I think a lot of people do well with that. If they know it's kind of scientific, it hits them differently versus just like, oh, yeah, I think this will work. And, you know, if they have actual research behind it, it can help.
Yeah. She has a couple of good healthy snacks in here. She recommends making homemade trail mix.
Oh, I love nuts, too. Are you a nut person?
Look, she puts dark chocolate chips in this one.
Shut your mouth. We're done here.
All right. 240. There you go.
Exactly. I'm telling you, it is the best of the...
But dark chocolate is... That does have some
antioxidants. But I have a lot of it. Like, I have like a half a bar a day. I mean, that's a lot.
How is the bar the big of... Is the size bar's of like China this, or...
No, you've seen the bar you've given me.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, I have
that's
like a...
not... bad.
Maybe a little more. Maybe 3/4 of a bar. Not a whole bar, but like 3/4. But yeah. Oh, I like goji berries too. I like all this stuff.
But that's the only thing that you do.
Pretty much.
You hardly ever drink alcohol. You don't smoke. You exercise.
Yeah.
You meditate.
Yep.
You breathe.
Right. Exactly.
You laugh. You have a good sense of humor. I think
that helps tremendously.
Yeah. Being able to laugh at ourselves and not go into shame holes and guilt pits is so powerful.
Yeah. And you know what else feeds my soul? All that weird, like, you know, psychics and the wellness stuff and the Ayurvedic stuff. Like, that excites me. Like, I get passionate. And I think you have to do stuff that feeds your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You
Absolutely.
Know? And yours is travel. I mean, I love traveling, too. But, I mean, right? You have to do it to feed your soul.
Well, we didn't hear from her, but I'm sure they described it in the... she did some work at the Deepak Chopra retreat on the studied vacation versus meditation.
I'm dying to hear that. Well, I know she did say that that vacation was very helpful, but then a year later, those who had meditated, remember that?
Yeah,
so that's maybe, I wonder if that's the point she was trying to make, Well, she was fantastic. So if you want to get the book, again, it's The Telomere Effect by Elizabeth Blackburn and Elisa Epple. So that was fabulous. So next week we have Dr. Seda, and it's perfect timing because we're going to be talking about women empowerment. And she has a book about sexuality, and I just think it's so timely to talk, you know, about all of that stuff.
Emergence of the Sensual Woman, Awakening Our Erotic Innocence. It'd be fascinating if we can also talk to her to some degree about all the sexual harassment stuff and
God.
What's going on and how do women protect themselves from that? You know, what kinds of auras do we sometimes put out there that maybe possibly invites it in? Mm. You know, how do we learn how to say no?
Sure.
I think a lot of abused children, I've learned, and certainly was true for me, we become magnets for that familiarity. So if that's what you're used to, it's like it almost normalizes the insane. And, you know, it's hard to really be mindful of that and see that and understand that you have a right to say no.
Sure. That makes sense. Such interesting stuff.
It is. All right, my dear. So have a happy, happy, happy birthday.
Thank you for that gorgeous poem.
I'll be thinking about you. I love you.
Well, it's so nice because now I have it on paper and I have it on permanent audio recording.
There you go. It's out there in perpetuity.
So visit us on Instagram at Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly, on Facebook, the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, Twitter at DocTherapist1, and our website, docandtherapist.com. You can send us emails if you have any questions or ideas for guests. We're totally open, docandtherapist@gmail.com. So that's it. That's my whole spiel.
Au revoir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bon voyage.
Bonjour. Now I'm going to end this.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.